Welcome to Enclave On Air. I'm your host today, Jessica Hergert. Enclave On Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with Saad Z. Usmani, MD, FACP, Chief of the Plasma Cell Disorders Program and Director of Clinical Research in Hematologic Malignancies at the Levine Cancer Institute of Atrium Health, to discuss the FDA approval of daratumumab in combination with carfilzomib and dexamethasone for patients with relapsed refractory multiple myeloma who have received at least one prior line of therapy. On August 20, 2020, the FDA approved the triplet in two carfilzomib dosing regimens, 70 mg per meter squared once weekly and 56 mg per meter squared twice weekly. The regulatory decision was based on findings from the Phase 3 CANDOR trial and the Phase 1b Aquelis trial. In CANDOR, patients with relapsed refractory disease who had received 1 to 3 prior lines of therapy were randomized 2 to 1 to receive KDD or carfilzomib and dexamethasone alone. Results from the trial showed that the addition of the anti-CD38 antibody led to a 37% reduction in the risk of disease progression or death. At a median follow-up of 17 months, the median progression-free survival was not yet reached with KDD versus 15.8 months with KD alone. Moreover, the median overall survival had not yet been reached in either treatment arm. Additionally, an objective response rate of 84.3% was reported in the KDD arm versus 74.7% in the KD arm. The rates of complete response or better were 28.5% versus 10.4% with KDD and KD, respectively. Treatment discontinuation rates because of toxicities were 22.4% versus 24.8% with KDD and KD, respectively. In the KDD arm, 3.9% of patients experienced grade 3 or higher cardiac failure versus 8.5% of those in the KD arm. Cardiac failure resulted in carfilzomib discontinuation in 3.9% versus 4.6% of those in the KDD and KD arms, respectively. Moreover, 5 treatment-related deaths were reported. All were reported in the triplet arm. 1 each were due to pneumonia, sepsis, septic shock, Acinetobacter infection, and cardiorespiratory arrest. In the Aquelis trial, investigators evaluated daratumumab in combination with various backbone therapies in patients with relapsed refractory multiple myeloma and showed that the pharmacokinetic concentrations of daratumumab at 16 mg per kilogram were comparable at the end of weekly dosing, regardless of whether it was a split dose or a single infusion. Additionally, the safety profiles were similar across both dosing regimens. Daratumumab is currently indicated as a single agent for patients with myeloma who have previously received 3 or more lines of therapy, in combination with lenalidomide and dexamethasone or bortezomib and dexamethasone for those who have received 1 or more prior lines of therapy, in combination with pomalidomide and dexamethasone for those with myeloma who have received at least 2 prior lines of treatment, including lenalidomide and a proteasome inhibitor, and in combination with bortezomib, melphalan, and prednisone for the treatment of those with newly diagnosed myeloma who are not candidates for autologous stem cell transplant. In our exclusive interview, Usmani discussed the FDA approval of daratumumab, carfilzomib, and dexamethasone in relapsed refractory multiple myeloma. To start with an overview question and to provide a little bit of context, what treatment options are currently available to treat patients with relapsed refractory multiple myeloma?
So the current landscape for myeloma patients in the relapse setting include several 3-drug options as well as 2-drug options. What we've recognized is that, myeloma needs to be treated with a multi-prong approach with different mechanisms of actions working together, because myeloma is a heterogeneous disease and there's a lot of clonal heterogeneity at the time of diagnosis, and that tends to increase with subsequent relapses. So we have several combinations in early relapse setting that include lenalidomide-based triplets. So we have bortezomib, lenalidomide, dexamethasone, carfilzomib, lenalidomide, dexamethasone, ixazomib, lenalidomide, dexamethasone, elotuzumab, lenalidomide, dexamethasone. We also have within this setting carfilzomib, dexamethasone as a potential option. We also have some bortezomib-based options like pendobinostat, bortezomib, dexamethasone as well. So there's several options, but as you can see, majority of these options are lenalidomide-based triplets. And within the United States specifically, many patients remain on lenalidomide-based maintenance after having received either their induction with or without stem cell transplant.
Could you provide me with the rationale to look at the combination of carfilzomib, daratumumab, and dexamethasone in relapsed refractory multiple myeloma and any background information that you think is important to note?
So frontline treatment with lenalidomide and bortezomib-based therapies have prolonged survival in newly diagnosed myeloma patients, but when patients relapse, especially when they become refractory to both immunomodulatory drugs and to bortezomib, the PFS and overall survival becomes fairly short for patients. In fact, prior lenalidomide exposure and refractoriness appears to be an independently negative prognostic factor at the time of relapse. Therefore, developing regimens that address that patient population and are lenalidomide-free would make sense. And because carfilzomib and daratumumab are very effective single agents and have approval for relapse refractory myeloma patients as monotherapy as well as combinations, a combination of carfilzomib, dexamethasone, and daratumumab was examined in a phase one study called Aquilius and found to be efficacious and safe. And that was the rationale to develop the CANDA trial and compare the three-drug combination to the standard of care arm of carfilzomib dexamethasone.
How was the CANDOR trial designed?
The CANDOR study was designed with a 2-to-1 randomization schema for patients who've had 1 to 3 prior lines of treatment. And the 2-to-1 schema means that for every patient who was randomized to the carfilzomib dexamethasone arm, 2 were randomized to the combination of daratumumab with carfilzomib and dexamethasone. And the treatment was continued until disease progression, relapse, or intolerance, with the primary endpoint being progression-free survival. But there were other important key secondary endpoints, such as overall response rate, MRD status, specifically landmark analysis of MRD negative CR at 12 months, and overall survival was also an important secondary endpoint.
What patients were included in the study?
The patients who were enrolled in this trial had to have at least 1 to 3 prior lines of treatment. A total of 466 patients were randomized, 312 to the DARA-KD arm, 154 to the KD arm. The median age at the time of enrollment for the patients was about 64 on the three-drug combination arm, 65 on the two-drug combination arm. And you know, if you start looking at karyotypic abnormalities, roughly 15 to 16% of the patients in the study had high-risk features by cytogenetics, and more than 50% of the patients had 2 or more prior lines of treatment. 28% of the patients had prior bortezomib refractoriness, and about 1/3 of the patients on the study were refractory to lenalidomide.
What were the key results of the CANDOR trial?
After a median of a little over 16 months of follow-up, the primary endpoint of PFS was met, with DARA-KD significantly prolonging PFS compared to KD. The median PFS was reached in the KD arm at 15.8 months, whereas that in the DARA-KD arm was not reached, and the hazard ratio was 0.63 with a one-sided p-value of 0.001.
What safety signals were observed with the combination?
So looking at safety, it's also important to appreciate that the drug exposure was more prolonged, I guess, in the three-drug combination, primarily showing the efficacy of that regimen. But the relative dose intensity was similar across the two arms for carfilzomib as well as dexamethasone. From a safety standpoint, 99% of the patients had some grade of treatment-emergent adverse event, whereas it was 96% on the KD arm. Grade 3 or higher treatment-emergent AEs were seen in 82% of the patients versus 74%, and primarily included infections. If we start looking at treatment-related fatal AEs, there were 5 that occurred on the that are KD arm, whereas there were none on the KD arm. And four of those five were infection related, and one was a cardiorespiratory arrest. The safety profile from the hematologic treatment emergent A perspective, there were higher rates of thrombocytopenia, as well as grade 3 or higher neutropenia on the KD-DARA arm. And again, you know, infection rates with upper respiratory tract infections and pneumonias were also higher. On an interesting note, cardiac failure appeared to be numerically lower, grade 3 or higher, numerically lower on the DARA KD arm at about 4% versus 8.5%. But as I mentioned, respiratory tract infections were certainly higher, almost 29% versus 15.7% grade 3 or higher on the DARA KD arm versus the KD arm.
So could you discuss the regulatory approval and what clinical implications it may have in the space?
So DARA KD being approved by the FDA adds an important option for our patients who have been exposed to lenalidomide or become refractory to lenalidomide. We do need options for that subset of patients. Previously, we did not have. We do want to wait for the long-term data to see what kind of benefit we get in that particular subset. One of the important things that we have to appreciate about all these phase 3 studies in the 1 to 3 prior relapse setting is the differences in the patient population. And, you know, to me, the most clinical impactful patient population that would benefit from this combination are the len-exposed or len-refractory patients, because that population was not studied in any of the len-based triplet combinations that are currently approved.
Are there any future research efforts planned for this combination or any remaining questions that still need to be answered?
I think the big question with this FDA approval is how will community adopt DARA-KD? Is carfilzomib going to be given on a weekly basis based on the Aquilius data in the US practice, or will we be doing twice weekly dosing? And many of us would feel that once weekly dosing will probably be more convenient for patients. So, you know, we have to see how these trends emerge, but I suspect that that will be a big question. I do not believe there are any clinical trials planned, and this will probably end up being a post-marketing analysis that, you know, many of the myeloma investigators may look at in the future.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science summits and institutional perspectives in cancer webinars. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.